Hey Mummy, it's Pickle, what are you doing? Well Pickle, I'm having to record a new advert for the Bailey and Harding ultrasound system because people started taking the piss out of the way that I said the word apparel. That's really mean, Mummy. I know, darling, but you know what people are like. Lots of people are absolute bellends, so I'm having to do it again. So what's the advert for then, Mummy? Tell me. Well, darling, it's for shoes. So it's for the Trailfly trail running shoe. What are they like though, Mummy? Well, they've got 4mm rubber studs and are perfect for gripping dry rock and hard-packed dry ground. And the graphite grip rubber outsole has been improved from the previous models. Do you remember when I had a green pair? It's been improved from that. Those shoes are so good, aren't they, Mum? You seem to wear them every day. I do wear them every day, Pickle. They're my day-to-day go-to shoe, and I love them. But how would they go about winning a pair? Well, you need to go to our Instagram page on your Pi phone. Head to Ultra Sound System Pod, click the link to enter in our link tree and wait for that lovely email from Innovate telling you that you're a winner. But because you're a dog, you're going to need to win two pairs because you've got four paws. Yeah, well, you know me, Mummy. I can always get away with two and just do handstands all around the place. Thanks for that, Pickle. If you can't wait to see if you're a winner, then you can get a big old 15% discount on any full price kit when you purchase it from the website with the code that you can also find in our link tree. That's so great, Mummy. That sounds like a great thing to win anyway. I might get sponsored by Innovate. You're sponsored by Nonstop, darling. Should we go for a run? Okay, Mummy, let's go. On with the pod, which contains lots of swearing and some very immature adult themes. Welcome to the Bailey and Reed Ultrasound System with my friend, my very good friend, probably, I'd say, one of my best friends, Kirsty Reed.
Great. Do you need to confirm the spelling of Reed?
Yes, please.
And the pronunciation.
I'll just guess. R-E-E-E-E-E-E-D.
Yeah, you'd think, wouldn't you? That's been the bane of my life. But no, it's pronounced. It's spelled R-E-A-D-E, but it's pronounced Reed.
Reed?
Yeah, yeah.
Is that right? Reed?
Yeah, you know, like Paul, you think of Paul St. Albans.
Yeah.
You think of Reed a book. That's how you pronounce mine. So it's good. It's not going to be as complicated as Paul's.
It's just Reed. It's not just Reed.
Okay. No. Excellent. It has been a source of confusion throughout my life.
How do you pronounce your first name? Because that's quite an interesting name.
Yeah, it's. It's Kirsty, but if you're American, for some reason, it's Christy. So
Christy. Hey, Christy.
Yeah, every American I've ever worked with has called me Christy, and I've never corrected them because I'm too polite.
My someone in my life has a Christy in their life, but they call them Krusty because they don't like them. So,
yeah, a lot of people call me Krusty when I was younger. Or are you thirsty, Kirsty? You know, things like that.
Wow, sounds like a film my brothers might have watched in the 80s. Anyway, how are you doing today, Kirsty? My friend Kirsty.
I'm quite tired because I was working. We were just talking about this. I was working a weekend with various things, but yeah, I'm all right. I'm
Let's do an introduction to Kirsty Reed, as in read a book, which leads me on nicely to one of your jobs, your mini jobs. You're like a triathlete of jobs, but in a good way, an Iron Man of jobs.
Yeah, I am.
What are your jobs?
My job. Well, so my main job, as you know very well, is a commissioning editor at Vertebrate Publishing.
No, that's not your main job, is it? Your Pickle's auntie, favourite auntie.
Oh yeah, Pickles. Yeah. One of Pickles. One of Pickles' many aunties.
Yes.
So that's that's my main job is Pickles' auntie. Obviously, I've also got my own dog, but you know he has to play second fiddle to Pickle in many ways. Vertebrate Publishing, which is a publisher of adventure books. So we do lots of running books. We did your book, obviously. We did both of Damien Hall's books. We did Sabrina Virgie's book, Steve Birkinshaw's book. So lots of books that runners will have read. We've been a publisher for. We also do climbing, walking, swimming, stand-up paddleboarding and cycling. So that's my main job, kind of going out, finding authors for that, finding out what's going on in the market. Somebody was saying to me last night, you're always going for a run with authors. And I was thinking, it's true actually.
Yeah, but they are your friends as well, right? Because that's how I got my book deal, isn't it?
No, that's not how you got your book deal.
We'll talk about that later. Yeah.
We can
That's how a lot of people think I got my book deal.
Yeah, I think we should cover that. We should definitely cover that. So that's one job. It's my sort of another job is I work for Scamper, which is a running app, which we've kind of four of us have kind of founded and we're trying to get off the ground. So we've just created a round with Innovate from the shop, which loads of people did this weekend, which is really, really good, went really well. So yeah, it's a route finding app, S-K-A-M-P-E-R, you can find it. And then my other job, which is kind of just, I just do sort of through the summer, is I work for the World Mountain Running Association, which is something I'm quite passionate about. And I do their kind of press releases and media for the World Cup and a few other things as well. So if people don't know about mountain running, it's kind of a, it's probably like the purest form of running. Like think about UTMB and then think about the exact opposite of everything that UTMB is. So yeah, it doesn't have like huge sponsors. It's been going, like WMRA has been in existence 40 years this year.
Has it?
Yeah. It's just hugely kind of pure and sort of historic sort of method of running. You know, there's different races, so it's kind of uphill only, up and down, longer races.
Oh, so is Zagama one of them?
Zagama some years is in the World Cup, but yeah, that would be that sort of style of racing. So we had Broken Arrow this weekend is in the World Cup. Sierre Zinal, which is probably like one that most people have heard of, is in the World Cup again this year. It's the 25th year of the World Cup. So it's all these like races that have been going 40 or 50 years in Italy. Everybody's incredibly passionate about it. You know, all the elites come out, but also like everybody in the town comes out. So, you know, you've got runners of like every level. Anybody can do these races as well. Mostly sort of France, Italy. Hey?
Anyone? Can anyone do them?
Yeah, anyone can do them. Yeah. That's the whole, one of the things about the World Cup is it's for everybody.
So can I go and do one?
Yeah, you can go and do one, yeah.
Whoa, yeah. That would be fun, wouldn't it? Because I'd be shit.
It's like with anything, isn't it? You wouldn't be the shittest because there'd be like, you know, like some 80-year-old dude who's lived in like this Italian village for, you know, all his life and he comes out and does it as well.
Oh, but, I love it.
But and the other thing is, Brits are really good at it. Like some of the Brits are like the best in the world. So you got Sarah McCormack, like one of your label mates at Innovate. Yep. Scout Adkin. Sarah McCormack's been World Cup champion. Andrew Douglas as well, Scottish runner, who kind of made a bit of a comeback this weekend. He was seventh at the 23K race at Broken Arrow. Joe Stewart did really well last year, Zach Hanna, loads of people that you would know, but they don't, you know, these people don't get the accolades, they don't get the, you know, the attention. I mean, there's a dude that people might have heard of who was second in the VK, and that was Jim Walmsley.
Who? How do you spell that?
It was like, but it was amazing. Like, you know, all these people who are like uphill specialists, and then Jim Walmsley's second.
Who beat Jim Walmsley?
Patrick Kipengino, who's like he was the World Cup champion last year, Kenyan dude, amazing. Just
he sounds
amazing,
like Patrick Kipengino sounds like a model from the 80s.
Yeah, he's got that vibe.
But he smells amazing. Oh, this, I love this. I've never really talked to you about this because when it comes to like, don't, I'm putting them in the same bucket because I'm a fucking idiot. So the difference, sister, between me and Kirsty is Kirsty's very, very clever and she's also a very good runner and she knows her shit. And I am a fucking idiot. So it's a bit like Sid, Bert and Ernie or Ant and Dec. But I would be Ant, the one that took the overdose of paracetamols and got a drink problem. And you would be Dec, the grown up. So what was I going to say? The World Trail Majors. I'm very tired. With the
World Mountain Running Association, yeah.
How is that different? Like, how does like, something like Salomon Golden Trails come into that? Does it? Is it different?
I mean, it's similar. You know, they have the whole, like the World Cup's like a series. They choose like a number of races and the people race, you know, in whatever races you want to do, and you amass points as you do it. So if you win a race, you get 50 points, etc. And then at the end of it, they count, I think it's the best six races towards like a, you know, who's going to be the champion. And Golden Trails is, I guess it's just kind of similar, but it's big, glitzy, you know, it's more kind of trail oriented. Like we're more kind of mountain running, you know, so level of steepness, like what, you know, what height you get up to, all those things come into like WMRA races. And, you know, it's not huge amounts of money in it. Whereas, you know, Golden Trails, it's big money, big sponsors, helicopters, you know. WMRA is like four or five of us chasing around with phones, taking pictures of the start and the finish. And, you know, over the years, it's got more and more kind of professional and media stuff. But we're still, you know, like you've got Sky Running, you've got Golden Trails, and then you've got like WMRA, I suppose, is the less glitzy, purer kind of
dirty one. It's a dirty one.
Yeah, it's like the Fell Runner. Imagine it as Fell Running versus like, I don't know, like ultra Trail Snowdonia or something like that. Two mentions already.
I know. It's bad, isn't it? I
feel like we're going to talk about UTMB.
No, we're not. Also, that's nice. But as a runner, you're a runner as well, aren't you? Sometimes you go running too. Sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes.
You've done quite a lot of running, haven't you?
Yeah, I've done a fair amount of running.
Yeah, you better fucking tell people what you've done. And if you miss bits, then I will fill them in because I'm not having you do that thing where you pretend you haven't done very much, but actually you've done loads.
I've done Felfoot Park Run.
I have.
I suppose I started running like everybody else starts running, like did a 10K, did a half marathon, tried to get a bit quicker, then thought, oh, maybe I could do a marathon. So I did sort of road marathons for years and tried to get a bit quicker and never really got that much quicker. So then I thought I'll try like a 30-mile race. So I did like a 30-mile race and I did that thing where you sort of think, oh, what's going to happen when I get to 26 miles? Like, are my legs going to fall off? Whatever. And then I realised that actually it was just like, this is probably what I was quite good at because I can just, they call me one speed read. Because I can just keep up a pace like forever. So then I started doing, I can't remember what that 30 mile race was, but it's down in the South Downs. It was by the windmills.
Was it the South Downs Windmill 30?
No, but it was.
But it should have been.
I don't think it exists anymore. I think it was called like the Jack and Jill race or something like that. Anyway, then I went through the gateway drugs of Centurion races for a while.
We need to get James on the podcast, really, don't we?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. James, yeah, you don't. Do podcasts for James enough, do you?
The Pablo Escobar of running.
Yeah. And then I sort of discovered, like, I hate to say it, but UTMB.
Oh, for fuck's sake. I was talking to our friend and our mutual acquaintance, Damien, about this and the other day, and he was saying to me that he feels bad because he did UTMB when it was good. So before all this shit. And I think a lot of people did, didn't they?
Yeah, so I went out in 2010, I think 2011 maybe, and did the CCC, and it was the biggest thing I'd ever done. I didn't have any idea what I was doing. I was probably like one of like four people on the start without poles, and like this other guy, British guy, looked at me on the first climb and he goes, "Are you British?" And I went, "Yeah," and he goes, "Yeah, we're the only people without poles." So so I did that. I had no idea what I was doing. It was terrifying and amazing, and I absolutely loved it. But it wasn't like super busy that year, so your family could don't have a family, but they could stand by the finish line.
Your trail fam,
trail fam. Yeah, I didn't really have a trail fam then. They could stand by the finish line. You know, they'd be like, I've got a picture of me and my friend Britta sat on a box at the finish line.
I've seen that picture. And there's nobody there
with a cowbell. Yeah. But now you can't get, you know, within miles of that. So anyway.
Yeah, you need to buy like a Golden Circle ticket like you see in Taylor Swift or some shit, don't you?
Yeah, and they charge, like now, so if you're media, they charge you.
You've got to dodge people with the GoPros. They're trying to stick up their arse to take fucking selfies of you and put fucking Jim Walmsley in headlocks. All the influencers running around under the arch, like mentalists.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah, when they've done the influencer race. So I did the CCC twice. Then I did the TDS. And then I did the UTMB. So I sort of paid my dues there and I sort of knew what I was doing by the end of that. And then I just got really obsessed for like years for doing all of those kind of big races that have all been completely ruined now. So I'm not going to take the blame for it. But, you know, so Trans Gran Canaria is still a good race. I'm sure it's bigger than it was, but it's still a good.
I get mixed up between Trans Gran Canaria and Transvolcania.
Okay, Transvolcania I've also done and that was great and I loved it, but it's now a UTMB race.
Is it? Which one's the trail major then? One of those trail major.
Trans Gran Canaria.
Trans Gran Canaria, okay.
I think that's right.
A world trail major, but it's not. Is it a UTMB race as well?
No.
Because
no.
World trail majors aren't UTMB races. They're the opposite, aren't they? Anti-UTMB.
I think it might be the one that was a UTMB race and then dropped out of it.
Okay.
But I might be wrong on that. Lavaredo. Yeah, tons of races in Spain and stuff. So I just got really obsessed with doing it and flying all over the place and ruining the environment and ruining races.
That was before the environment was ruinable. So that was when there was a hole in the ozone layer and there wasn't climate change, just a hole in the ozone layer.
Yeah. So I can't take the blame for all of it. No. So I did lots of those. And that's what I love. Like, I love like being in the mountains, something being quite hard, something being quite long
and something being quite long.
Okay, well, if that's the way this podcast is going to go, that's fine. I'm trying to keep a modicum of professionalism. So this is really boring, isn't it? But
no,
yeah,
it's
so
great,
then...
and I like that, something quite hard and long. That's the podcast title.
Okay, great. I'll get my coat.
What's that one that you did that only you did?
Ian Miach.
Ian Miach.
There were other runners in it.
No, I know, but you were the only British person, weren't you? Or lady.
I was the only, I'm the only British woman who's done it. Ali Bevan's done it, and I think Drew Sheffield's done it.
Yeah. Wait, Drew and Ali are both male men.
They are male men, I think, yeah. But yeah, that's a great, like an amazing race. Like you go up like the whole area around Zagama and stuff like that, and it's really fucking hard. And yeah, no, that's sort of perfect race for me, like atmosphere wise. It's really like, it's all local traditions. They do like a Basque dance. It's in a Basque country. They do like a dance at the start. They've got like these traditional xylophones that they play. You come into the aid stations at 2 o'clock in the morning and it's like a party sort of thing. Those are things I love. But also like I'm more about like UK stuff now. So I've done stuff like Kate Rath, Dragon's Back. I did Northern Traverse last year, DNF'd it this year. Lakeland 100, like those sort of races. So those, it's those sort of, I love those sort of small races, and I'm of an age now where I want to do the races that I really want to do. I'm not interested in ticking lots of boxes and taking lots of, you know, going flights to go to European races anymore. I just want to find the ones that I really, really, really want to do and just do them whilst I can.
Like a Spice Girl, like the ones you really, really want.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be like, probably be like Sporty Spice, I imagine.
Would you? Oh, that's a really good question. What Spice Girl do you think I would be like?
Probably a mix of Jerry and, oh, I don't know. That, you should probably put that one out to listeners, really. They'd
no,
probably
I would
know
be Jerry. I used to want to be Jerry, and I died. I sun-inned the front two bits of my hair. With when sun-in didn't work, I used toilet bleach. That was a look.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, I wanted to be Jerry Halliwell. I don't really know why, but I did. But you are Sporty Spice and I am Jerry. So that actually makes a lot of sense when you think about it, because you can sing quite well and dance. I can't do anything very well. I just fuck about.
Yeah, I can't sing or dance. I'm not really sure where you got that from.
But singing and dancing is a metaphor for running.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
Metaphor. Okay. I'm an author, so I know about those sort of things.
Oh, really? Right. Well, maybe we should talk about that now.
What is your favourite UK race? Number one, what's your favourite UK race?
Ooh. Oh, that's a really difficult one. I'm probably going to say Lakeland 100 or Lakeland 50, you know, one of the Lakeland races, just because they've just got this sort of unique atmosphere. You know, they've got a real personality of their own. They've always sort of, you know, resisted being taken over by big sponsors and stuff, or, you know, race companies. Incidentally, somebody said to me the other day, they said, what is UTMB? Is it just like British cycling? They just oversee running.
No.
I was like, okay, have you got half an hour spare?
Cause I'm just Do you know who Vladimir Putin is?
No, that's not what I said. But yeah, probably later than 100, I think. Anything that's got a personality and it's not spoiled and it's quite hard and it takes you to beautiful places. That's my bag, I guess.
What's your favourite European race?
I'm going to say Ian Miach, because I went out there for 3 years as media and like worked on it as media and then did the marathon just to sort of have a look at it. But like you drive all over as media and see like the points of the course, you know, and there's bits of like really historic kind of pilgrims trails and stuff like this and old churches and stuff. It's just stunning and it's unspoiled and the countryside's amazing. It's a little bit like if you live in the Lake District, it's kind of green and muddy and sort of nice and hilly and lots of 1,000 meter peaks rather than like huge kind of things. So probably in Miach, but also Lavaredo. I just really loved
Lavaredo. Is Lavaredo? Everyone's going to Lavaredo at the moment. Is Lavaredo happening now?
July end of June, so it must be.
It's Lavaredo.
Actually,
it
could be
race.
This weekend. Yeah, it is now. Yeah,
I think James is going. He has to because he's La Sportiva, and then I think I might be going as well. I think the Centurion WhatsApp group is alive with the sound of Lavaredo.
Yeah. No, I mean it's great. Like I've done the Cortina Trail one, which is like 50k, and then I've done the big one as well. And it's amazing. Like the scenery is like the Tre Cima and the Dolomites and stuff is just absolutely incredible. Like, yeah.
Well, I might. Is that really hilly?
Yeah, it's quite hilly, Ali.
How many verts has it got?
Probably going to say about 4,000 to 5,000 in the big race.
What, in the meters?
In the meters, yeah.
That's not that many verts.
Yeah, sure.
I thought you were going to say like, what's that big one, Pika Pika? That's like 40,000 meters or something, isn't it?
Yeah, maybe not 40,000.
Like, you go and do Pika like... Pika.
No, because I'm not good enough. That's the thing. You got to stay in your lane, mate. You've got to stay in your lane. I know what I'm good
Gary
at.
Gary House has had a go at Pika Pika.
Yeah, Gary House is a much better runner than me. But I'm not. So Pika Pika, like, you've got to be really, really strong on the hills. I'd say I'm sort of average on hills, but really strong on the technical stuff, and I'm terrible at technical stuff.
I'm going to just look up Pika Pika before I make a Pika Pikachu of it, right? Yeah. And tell you Pika Pika race.
I reckon it's like 15,000 metres, maybe 20,000 metres.
It's 11,500 metres.
That's less than Ian Miak. What are these people complaining about?
Fucking little bitches, aren't they?
But I think the thing is, it's like so steep. Like if you do like Lakeland 100 or whatever, you get the ascent over lots and lots of kind of rolling sort of ascents and descents. Whereas in Pika Pika, I think you just get like so stonking thousand
109 kilometers, 11,500 meters of elevation, 4 summits at 3,000 meters, 4 mountain refuges, 20 lakes, 700 volunteers. They've got a really nice website. Well done, Pika Pika. We shouldn't really be talking about it because it's supposed to be a secret, I think. I think not. They don't do much proper systems, do they?
No.
They don't want people like Ultra Dave turning up with his GoPro and sticking out people's bottoms.
Yeah.
We'll talk about influencers later. There's so much to talk about, isn't there?
Definitely want to talk about influencers.
Influencers. What's your next race that you've got in the diary?
Lakeland 5 Passers on Saturday.
Oh! It's fun.
Yeah.
What's that race? I've got a client doing that.
It's a lake. There's an events company in the Lake District called Ascend Events, run by Jeff Mitchell, who's a really, really great guy, and his dad, which is nice, isn't it? And they put on really, really nice, kind of very welcoming races in the Lake District. So things like the Derwentwater Dawdle, they've got like a Silverdale circuit. There's 3 or 4. They're really like reasonably priced, and you can do them as a walker or a runner. You know, the cutoffs are really good, but they're really hard. They're still really hard. Mm-hmm. So this is like the big 5 passers in the Lake District. It's a training run for my next one, which is Tour de Gion in September.
So tell me about Tour de Gion quickly, please. I always get very confused. What's the basics? Billy basics on Tour de Gion.
Tour de Gion is a non-stop multi-day race, so that means you kind of, the clock never stops, you just keep going and you sleep whenever you want to sleep. Takes place in the Aosta Valley in Italy, so sort of through the Mont Blanc tunnel from Chamonix. Starts in Cormier, and it's 330 kilometres and 20,000 metres. So yeah, looking forward to that.
I'm going to come with you, aren't I? Hold your hand.
Yeah, apparently so.
I'm not running with you though, I'm just going to watch.
Okay.
With an ice cream.
Well, that's good because you do have to enter. You have to like enter the race and stuff. Yeah.
I'm going to be helpful though. I'm going to be waving like this with an ice cream.
Okay, sure.
You'll love it.
I look forward to the race.
You'll love it when I'm there going like that, and you're like, "Am I hallucinating?" And I'm like, "No." Right. So, what have we covered? We've covered your book career. We've covered your mountain reporting career, reportage. We've covered your running career. What other career have you got?
I think that's it, isn't it?
That's it. I think we've right. How do me and you know each other?
Oh, okay. So I slid into your DMs. No, I absolutely wasn't.
Join my Patreon on the top level, that's above OnlyFans.
Wow. We were both doing a race in the Lake District a couple of years ago called Grand Tour of Skidor. Got the medal for it right here, actually.
And also, everybody, if you want to enter that race and have a similar experience to a meeting with somebody that you will later go on to describe as one of the loves of your life, which is what Kirsty is, you can enter that race and there's a discount. You can just go onto the Bailey and Harding Ultrasound System podcast Facebook page and go to the events and you'll see a discount, and you can enter as pairs or you can enter as a one. It's a 48-mile race, it's got 8,000 foot ascent, and it's very, very fun.
It is very fun.
Hashtag
indeed.
Ad. Anyway, so we were both running that race. We didn't know that each other existed.
So we had a mutual friend, Matt Wyman, who's one of my authors, and you'd met him at the ARC, I think, or somewhere south North Way.
Yep.
And he'd said, "Oh, look out for Ali Bailey. She's running." So obviously you're quite recognisable. And you tend to hear you before you see you. Is that fair?
Mm-hmm.
No, but whether it's like, I don't mean that in a rude way, I just mean that when you kind of come down a hill, you tend to make quite a lot of noises.
What sort of noises do I make?
Squeaky
noises.
Yeah, exactly. So I turned around and said, "Oh, you're Ali Bailey," and we sort of chatted a bit. We did that thing where you sort of chat a bit and then you go, "Oh shit, am I supposed to wait for this person? I don't really know what the etiquette is now." But we seemed to hit it off, I think that's fair to say. We had a nice chat. We bonded over books and running and races and lots of people that we sort of knew mutually. And then you said the words that I fear.
you fear, the words that strike absolute dread into your heart.
Yeah. When people go, well, what do you do for a living? And I say, oh, I work in publishing. And they go, oh, I've got a book.
Oh!
And then you go, oh, God. Oh, no. I mean, I'll this is going to be the elephant in the room. So I'm absolutely happy to talk to anyone about books all day long. But there comes a point where it is my job, and I'm not going to read your book for nothing and give you feedback, which is often something that people ask me to do. But you didn't ask me any of those things. You just said,
I was actually quite embarrassed about the situation.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. You got a book, and I said, that's nice. And then we just sort of carried on, didn't we? And then we swapped phone numbers at the end. And I thought, I'll probably never hear from that person again. And then you messaged me a couple of days
later.
But
I wanted a book deal. That's a joke.
Oh, God. So you messaged me a few days later, and I thought, wow, that's a nice person. That's a keeper. So, and then I think you were doing Dragon's Back, weren't you, approximately 3 days later?
I was doing it like three. Yeah, that was a big mistake. Don't do the Grand Tour Escador or run the length of the country a few weeks before doing Dragon's Back. It's not really a good idea because it'll only end in tears. And it did end in tears.
Public information broadcast. We were sort of exchanging messages about that. And you were getting messages, unsolicited advice from middle-aged men, I think, mm-hmm. and sending them on to me. Anyway, then, we just became friends after that, didn't we? So, you're one of my very best friends, and I treasure you. And
Look at this. Nice. That's nice.
Well, you know, you've got to say these things, don't you? It's true. And So then I wanted to help you with your book. So I said, at the time, I didn't think it was probably for us because it's obviously not
awful.
It's obviously terrible. No, it's not necessarily a running book in the same way as something like, say, Steve Birkinshaw or Sabrina Virgie's book is. That's about
the name we need
to
talk about. Is it Virgie or Virgie?
Virgie, I think. Mm. Okay.
Pronunciations going on this pod.
Yeah. So I sort of sorry, that's my computer trying to install something. Sorry. So I said, look, I'll have a look at your book. No, actually, I don't think you had a book proposal at the time. I said, I'll help you.
I had a load of fucking shit written everywhere in various parts of the internet.
And I read bits of it, didn't I? And then helped you put together a proposal. So I think we went to we do most of our best work in Airbnbs, don't we?
We do. Like generally,
like,
we
really
do.
Baller.
Doesn't
ones.
Everybody? Doesn't everybody fucking do their best work in Airbnbs? Yep.
So we went to, like, I think we went somewhere nice and we put together a proposal, didn't we? And I tried to get you to focus for 5 minutes without going, oh, have you seen this thing on the internet?
Or should we go have a cup of tea? Let's go for a run. Do you want to do this? Oh, look at Pickle. She's funny. Let's have a cuddle. I know. Let's watch Married at First Sight Australia. I'm not very good at it, am I?
So, that just makes it more impressive, doesn't it, that you've written it. But yeah, so I was helping you with, and this is totally, totally honest, like, I was helping you with the view of, I'll help you put together a proposal and then you can send it to like a different publisher.
We were talking Bloomsbury, weren't we? We were like, let's send it to Bloomsbury or something, a big one, a big bad boy.
Yeah, sure. And then the more I looked at it and the more I got to know you, the more I thought, do you know what? This is so compelling. Like, it's a really important book and people need to read this book and this book needs to be out there. And I think we can do a really good job with it. And I think, you know, I think we can work with you. Like, we only work with people that we really like.
Why'd you work with Damien then?
Because we really like Damien. He's our biggest selling running author.
What?
Yeah.
No, he's not.
Yeah, he is.
He's not.
He is. His book's been out for 3 years. You're not going to outsell him in like 4 months.
I will outsell him though.
You probably will outsell him. Yeah, yeah. But anyway, so I took it to our sort of commissioning meeting that we have, and I stuck my neck out to say I really, really think that we should do this. I really, really believe in it. And the team at Vertebrate, you know, they were absolutely blown away by it. They all read it and they really believed in it as well. So even though it's a sort of slight departure from what we do, we did it. And, you know, I think it's one of the best decisions we've ever made. So, So there was absolutely no part of that that was because we were friends. Like, it went through exactly the same process. If anything, I didn't want to do it because we were friends.
I know.
Was quite
it was pretty awkward, wasn't it? I felt quite awkward about it. But also, there's a part of book. This is quite, I think this is probably quite interesting for people that have got books, which is half the people that are listening who've got a fucking book. Can I just tell you all, do not send your book proposals in because it's just not that kind of podcast, so just don't.
Yeah, not to the podcast, but you can read the submissions guidelines on our website, and then if it meets the submission guidelines, send it.
Yeah, but if it doesn't,
and you can come to my writer's workshops as well.
Yeah, when are your writer's workshops?
Well, every Monday, every last Monday in the month, we meet at this amazing space in Kendal, and yeah. It's completely free. So we were met last night, and we had like 10, 12 people. We had Susanna Swims as our special guest, who was brilliant, really, really good. And Jo Mosley came along as well, and she was really good. And it's just a really good insight. It's a way of like getting to know like the process and learning. Like, I get special guests every time, so sort of learning about how you put together a proposal, how you approach a publisher, like what makes a commercial idea, how you actually write the thing. We talk quite a lot about productivity and like actually getting started and stuff. But I'm also doing a weekend workshop in the first weekend in August in Rydal in the Lake District, if anyone wants to come along. And I've got Jo Mosley is coming to that to talk kind of how to market your book, and Matt Wyman is coming along to talk about how to kind of put together an adventure book and get it done and stuff. You were busy, otherwise I would have invited you as well, obviously.
Mine's a misery book. What a load of great people, and what a great thing for people to have access to. It's good,
well,
isn't
that's it?
Like,
I've like, this is boring, but like my background is working in like big academic publishers, and they're quite like, I won't name them, but they're quite stuffy, and they can be quite elitist. Mm-hmm. And I always felt like the thickest person in the room, but probably because I was. But like, I do feel quite passionately that anybody who's got a great idea can write a book. You know, it isn't just, you don't have to have been to Oxford or Cambridge or whatever, like, you know, it's getting kind of access to it. That's, you know, you sort of, people talk about, you know, you send it to 100 publishers and you get 100 rejections or whatever. You know, there's just no way into publishing. So I feel quite passionate about making it a bit more accessible to people. And even if, like, you know, let's face it, we only publish like 15 books a year. I'm not going to publish everyone's book that comes to me for advice.
Yeah.
that's definite. But I'm really happy to kind of speak to people, give them a bit of advice, or just give them a sort of first leg up, really.
So, one of the problems that we had, I had with mine, was that you, by that point, I trusted you because the book was really hard to write. It's quite a harsh process, isn't it? Like,
yeah,
cut this
really,
out, get
really
rid of
harsh.
That.
We
no,
were
you have
about
to
it
take,
last night,
yeah, you have to take those 30,000 words out, even though you're like, but they're coming from my heart. And it's like, no, you have to put them in the bin because nobody wants to read about that. So it's a pretty harsh thing to do, but you're very supportive. Anyway. You can go on the website and buy the books, all the books, the great books.
Yeah, and if you haven't bought Ali's, I mean, I can't imagine anyone listening to this that hasn't bought your book yet. But
I got stopped yesterday. This is a humble brag. Actually, it's just a brag. I was out for a run at St Aidan's Wildlife Park, and I got stopped by someone who said, "Are you Ali Bailey?" And I went, "No," kept going. No, I didn't know him. Who'd read my book?
That's amazing. Good, isn't it? That's brilliant. That's what it's all about.
Mainstream, that is. Wait till I get stopped. I can't wait till I get stopped in Aldi.
Oh, amazing. Aldi are going to start stocking frontless books.
Frontless books,
front list, new books.
What books with no front?
Can you hear Gilbert?
Yeah, yeah. No. That's Giblet. Okay. Giblet is one of Pickle's many boyfriends, but she's trying not to. Yeah,
you know. He's just come back from his walk, so he's gonna be annoyed.
Very exciting.
But
we need to talk features because we spend quite a lot of time together laughing about things. We also spend quite a lot of time together talking about inappropriate things. So, to be quite frank, we can't talk about the podcast. Because it's just
definitely. We can't name names. And we can't tell them where their body's buried.
We absolutely cannot. But we need to think of some features. And my big thing for this was that me and you are always asking questions. We're big question askers, aren't we? And that's why I wanted to come up with a feature called Bailey and Reed Investigates. It's got this music that goes underneath. This bed. Can you hear this bed? It's going to be really, really good.
Oh, yeah, that's amazing. Oh, wow.
Right?
That's cool. Yeah.
So, in the world of ultra running, do you think it's fair to say there's a few conumbrances, unsolved mysteries? Things
there's
that
a
happen
lot.
And you're like, does that add up?
There's a lot of unsolved mysteries. Some of them big, and they're probably too big for us, i.e. like, we've both got like 12
Do you think,
and like, got the time.
Derek, Marathon Investigations, needs to do that?
Maybe Derek, maybe the police in some instances. but I think there's a lot of small ones.
Maybe a psychiatric team in some instances.
Yeah, yeah, possibly, yeah. But yeah, there's a lot. There are some big ones and there's a lot of small ones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There is big ones and small ones. So I've got one that I'm interested in us investigating.
Yeah, go on. I'm going to write this down.
The Madeira Fell Runner disappeared.
Yeah, already on the list. Already
is
on the list.
It?
Well, we've talked about this. So I did a little bit of research yesterday, and you know, there's 4 in 4 years. But actually, if you go back to 2004, there's 7 people, like either hikers or runners, who disappeared without trace. Like without trace, that's the thing, isn't it?
In Madeira.
Yeah.
So Madeira is really small, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a really small island.
Yeah.
And these people have been out running, and the runners, as far as I know, are all pretty good runners.
Yeah, well, certainly the last one, the really high profile one, was like, yeah, a really good runner. Yeah, yeah.
And they've been out running, and they've just been running along, and then like they've just vanished, haven't they? And no kit, no like clothing, like
yeah,
disappeared without a trace. It's fucking mad.
It's mad, and it's like you know, we're not going to make a. We're not making light of it, are we? It's
like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, because I'm interested... talk about it so that people know about it. We can't investigate it, really, because we are not the police.
No.
And we can't really afford to go to Madeira, can we? I don't know.
We can. It's fine. Okay. I'll get Innovate to pay for it. They'll be fine. Okay, cool. Innovate will pay for that sort of thing. They'll definitely pay for an investigation. 100%.
Cool.
What if we go to investigate? We go missing?
Oh, no. Well, I think we'd have to go individually. Otherwise,
but do you know what's happened with the investigation?
No, I don't.
So the police were investigating it, and then they stopped. No one knows why they stopped. Now, I was talking to someone about this who's actually quite close to the last person that went missing. And the worst thing is, because there's no body, there's no closure, no one knows. No one fucking knows if these people did vanish off the face of the earth and they're still alive somewhere in some sort of weird Reggie Perrin double life, or if actually something's happened to them. It's just mad. And we were like, what if there's someone on the island who's taking them and like locking them? He's got a thing about who fucking hates runners and is locking them in, like, or is taking good runners and making them breed.
Is there a case in the first instance there where people are just sort of taking runners and locking them up for doing an influencer trip to Madeira to try and find this locked room full of runners?
There is, actually.
We could clean up the internet, couldn't we?
Okay, but the thing is, they seem to be taking just good runners.
Yeah.
Talented runners.
Yeah. I mean, we're joking, aren't we? But it's a massive mystery. I can't believe it's not sort of talked about more. I don't know whether it's big news in, like, you know, other countries or you know, I don't know. Because there's a Polish guy, a German guy, and a French guy, I know, when I was looking at it. So I don't know whether it's kind of like bigger noise being made about it there, but yeah. And I mean, you know, at the moment there's that young lad who's gone missing on Gran Canaria as well, isn't there?
Oh shit, is there?
Yeah, there's all sorts of things, but I suppose they're sort of you know, well, I don't know what they are, but like Michael Mosley and stuff, you know. It's
so I think there's a lot of people, do you know, me and my sister went, we were in Lanzarote last week. God, Lanzarote is so good for running. Obviously. Yeah. Like, I didn't think about it. Is there?
Yeah.
What is
it? It's Harrier Extreme, I think it's called.
Well, it's fucking great for running. It's like proper rocky, but we went and did a couple of runs up the mountains. Like the volcano, it's a volcanic island, so it's all very spiky and very big, chunky rocks and like amazing volcanoes. Yeah. And it was so good. But you know, I'm going out with a pack and I'm like taking a waterproof jacket and a fucking decent sized jacket and extra food and some water, because I'm like, well, if something happens up there, you know, we're gonna need to cover you up and out the sun and get someone to come and help us.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking so many people are going up and doing those things now because of the inspiring content that you get on Instagram, that actually people are going to end up in a pickle, aren't they?
Yeah.
And, but like Michael Mosley, that's a weird one, because obviously he knew what he was doing. But people do know what they're doing, don't they? When you think about Ed Catmer at last year, it's tragic
accidents, isn't it? Tragic accidents. And you know, obviously, just law of averages, like the odd tragic accident's going to happen. But you know, 4 people all going missing and like not being found is unusual, isn't it?
That is so small, because Madeira is such a small area.
Yeah,
like it's absolutely mad. That it's not being more looked at. The last one was 2022, wasn't it?
Darren. Yeah, that was Darren Kay, who's a well-known runner. And it's just hideous, wasn't it? Absolutely horrendous. Mm. And like, imagine being a loved one, you don't know what's happened to them.
I know.
It just must mess with your head so much.
I know. Anyway, on to more light-hearted investigations that need to take place.
Yeah.
Go on. What have you got in the case file? for me?
Well, I've got a lot. I've
a
got
lot. Shit.
I mean, so I think probably the inspiration for this feature, inspiration is a word that I use a lot. It's not really. Is from a mutual friend of ours who noticed that a lot of influencers were getting dogs on Instagram, and then the dogs were mysteriously disappearing. So, wow. Yeah. So, you know, I'm not pointing any fingers
Rescue
there.
Rescue dogs?
Well, yeah, but I think any sort of dog that's going to, I don't know, Ali, you're the expert on this, up your algorithm game.
Yeah, I mean, when I got Pickle, the number one reason I got her was to up my algorithm game.
Yeah, I thought that. Yeah, that's the number one reason you do anything, isn't it?
Pretty much it. 100%. I don't like running. I don't like it. I'm not a fan. It annoys me. What with the running, it's quite difficult for me, actually, because I have to first pretend I like it, then I have to pretend to go and do it, and then I have to spend hours mapping the route on Strava so it looks like I actually went and did it.
Yeah.
For me, that can be quite difficult, getting the cadence data right, getting the heart rate stuff right.
That's where a lot of people fall down. That's another investigation.
But I'm quite good at that. So it looks like I'm actually doing it, but I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
I've never run further than 155 metres.
Really? Mm. Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, I mean, that's worthy of investigation on its own, I think.
And what am I getting out of it? Well, adoration.
A lot of products. She gets out a lot of products.
Yeah. I don't like Pickle. She sleeps outside under the car if she's lucky.
Well, when I stay at your house, she sleeps with me.
Yeah. Well, you sleep under the car as well. So it's like... She's useful for some to sort of soften my image, but otherwise.
Yeah.
But at least I'm honest about it.
Yeah. I mean, it's heartbreaking, but you know, at least you are honest. Yeah. But yeah, I think the missing dogs we could look at. I think I would like to take a journey into mathletics at some point.
Oh, mathletics. What's that?
Mathletics. So mathletics is so there's two kinds of mathletics. You can take like somebody you've beaten in a race, and then you can say, oh, they won this race, therefore I'm better than them. So you can like, it's basically like taking your finisher position and then finding whatever way you can to massage it and make it look better. So for instance, in about, I'm going to say about 2007, maybe, I beat Liz Yelling in a park run. Okay. Right. She was pregnant with twins, but you know, I think.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if you're going to try. Yeah. So that means actually I am, I think like third fastest female UK marathon runner ever.
Wow.
Yeah. So if you beat someone in a park run like that, even if they're like tail walker or something, say like Paula Radcliffe was tail walking Bedford park run and you beat her, you could then say, oh, I'm actually a better runner than that. So that's one type of mathletics. The other type of mathletics is, where you kind of take your finish position and then you convert it so it looks really good. So like you see people saying, oh yeah, I was 21st Brit. I was 77th vet 40 or whatever. But my favourite one is people who make their own age categories. So I've got a friend who says, I was 45th vet 40, but when you actually look at the vet 43s, I was fourth. So you
vet
create your own age.
Vet 43s.
Yeah. So mathletics is basically taking like any result in a race and just finding a way to make it better.
Which you can do, because you can just do that with numbers, can't you?
Yeah, that easy. But I think the thing that I keep coming back to on the investigation is who is being influenced by influencers in 2024?
Who is being influenced by influencers?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, who's buying it still?
I don't know. But a lot of people are. So where was I the other day where I was like, Lanzarote. This isn't a judgment thing. This is just me noticing thing, because I live in a world of ultra runners, outdoors people. I live in my house. I don't go out very much. I'm not really allowed to. And I don't go to town. I don't go to town. It's actually quite a sad existence. And when I do go out, I go out with other runners, or I go out on the hill.
Yeah.
I went to Birmingham Airport at 6 o'clock in the morning and I was like, here's the general public. Like, I don't see the general public very often, but these are the people that are voting. We're not a BBC podcast, that are voting Tory, who I'm like, what the fuck are you doing, guys? Stop it.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, these are the people that are influenced. These are the people that see things on Instagram, believe it. These are the people that are buying that shit.
Yeah.
Munching it up like little delicious nuggets. And it's not because they're stupid or they're worse than me or I'm better than them or any of that dodgy shit. It's just that's where they are. Because we live in an echo chamber, we're like, no, we don't buy it. We don't see it, do we? So it becomes quite like mental for us to believe that people believe that stuff.
Yeah. And I think I was thinking recently about like there is a really big distinction between personal recommendation and ad.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of what it comes down to for me. It's like when I see people who are just posting like there was one a while ago, it's like, hey, I'm a famous runner and I use this washing machine.
What?
Yeah. And I'm like, oh man, someone's just paid you like a massive chunk of cash to just like advertise this washing machine and like nobody's buying it. But if like, so you, I mean, you're an influencer, right?
No.
Yeah, you are. You influence people.
Yeah, but in a good way.
Okay, you're one of the good ones. But like, so you will use a product and then say like, this hybrid jacket, whatever it's called, from Innovate. That's, I've worn this in loads and loads of races. It's kept me warm. It keeps me dry. It's a really, really good jacket. So like,
good ad. Know, it's actually that, the best thing no, they've ever made. Yeah,
that's a recommendation, isn't it?
Yeah, but the other thing that I'll do is I'll say, right, the storm shell jacket is great if there is a storm, but it's not great for a big winter race. So don't buy it for a big winter race. Buy it for a summer race. Like, and if you want a big chunky jacket, then this is the jacket you should buy. Like, I'm not going to talk shit about stuff. I think that's the difference, isn't it?
That is, it's a big difference. And it's like believing in it, isn't it? And it's like, you can just, I don't know. I mean, I'm old, but like when I look at Instagram, or as I've renamed it, things I'm desperate to tell people about me. It's perfect. That's all it is, isn't it? You can just sort of spot it a mile off, can't you? You can sort of, and the thing that makes me a bit sad, right, and this is serious, is it's often nutrition and supplements. And I kind of think, I want the science. I don't want like somebody who's been sent these collagen things or whatever to be like selling them to me. I want some science in my, like recommendation for this sort of thing. So like for Rena McGregor, like mutual friend of ours, like also vertebrate author, by her book is really good for another book coming soon. Then if she says to me, oh, do you know what? These Veloforte chews are really good because they've got this amount of carbohydrate and they're really easy to digest and blah, blah, blah. Then I'll go, amazing. Thanks, Rini. I'll buy it. Like you said to me the other day, or in fact, you've been like almost pushing it on me. So maybe I'm worried about this now. The magnesium stuff that you put in water.
Yeah, the Protein Rebel sent me some stuff. I took Protein Rebel Marine Collagen powder in my coffee because it was easy and it was free. And I was like, this is easy and free. And then they sent me some magnesium salts that you put in water before you go to bed, just put one spoonful in, and it stopped my electric leg syndrome, you know, that jolty leg syndrome you get, stopped it dead. And I've never had anything stopping it dead, and they helped me go to sleep. So I said to you, this stuff's fucking great. I think I made you a pint of it.
You've made me a couple, actually.
Yeah, a couple of pints.
And you said the first one's free, which was a bit chilling now. But anyway,
you have to sign up to my Patreon for the second one.
But yeah, anyway, so that, I mean, like, you know, if you recommend something, or someone like Rini or somebody that I trust recommends things, like, then you know, that to me is like, I'll buy that. But it's when people are just like, oh, you know, I've been sent this thing for free and now I'm doing a hashtag ad on Instagram. I just sort of think, is that bang for your buck if you're a brand? Because, like, that's so obvious. And, like, does anyone actually fall for it anymore?
Do you know what's funny? The people that sent me stuff recently, Jimmy's Coffee. I love Jimmy's Coffee, the protein coffee. Protein Rebel, Fenix, Head Torches. Haven't asked me. They haven't said, can you do 3 posts in exchange for this? They've just been like, have this. Do you like it? And I'm like, yeah. And that's it. They haven't actually asked me to do anything with it. Because I think that they're like, well, she'll just do something with it. She likes it. If she doesn't, doesn't matter. And that's what I do. Like, I will very occasionally be like, yummy, I'm drinking a Jimmy's. I love a Jimmy's. 20 grams of protein. It's tasty and delicious. The end. That Fenix Head Torch is hands down the best head torch I've ever used. And, but I'm not going to go around being like, oh, wow, what's that you're wearing, Kirsty? Well, you should be wearing this. Like,
hey, it's lakes in a day.
Oh, cool garms. Where'd you get that from?
Lakes in a day race. Great race in October in the Lake District.
50 miles, dirty events, sign up. Like, do sign up though, it's a good race. But But I'm not going to do that. And I think that there's a lot of people still who want to be famous. They want to be famous. And it's like, what do you want to be famous? Like Banksy once said, you don't go to a restaurant to take a shit. I'll never forget that. And it's like, yeah, like that's fame is a byproduct of being quite good at something. Whatever that thing is, it's a byproduct. And it's something that you don't, that is, you shouldn't, it's not, that's not the outcome you're looking for. It's sort of like the process, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I think people get given stuff for free, or they go and get something for free, and then suddenly they're like, I'm an ambassador now, which means I'm famous, or like I'm respected, or I've got some self-worth because it's been wrapped up in a fucking thing.
Yeah.
But it's all just a bit fucking weird, isn't it?
Because at the end of
the day, mate, they're just using you to advertise their product for free. To like 10 people that follow you.
Yeah, that's it. And like, I mean, we do it with books, like, you know, I can't deny that. But we get people who are like super, super into it. So at the moment, we've got like the Running Challenges, Kerry Wallace's book coming out.
Oh, and, yes, that book looks banging.
It's amazing. Honestly, it's absolutely amazing. And, you know, and I've contacted lots of people, said, hey, you know, you're interested in sort of doing one of the challenges from the race, like I'll send you a book, you can pick your challenge sort of thing. And then if people buy into it and they're really into it, then they'll promote it, you know, and then they're getting a nice book out of it. And we're not, you know, I mean, I don't know, maybe it is the same thing. But I think one thing is that's sort of unspoken in all of this is just the fucking waste. Like, people are getting sent piles and piles and piles. Can you imagine if you're one of those running influencers with like 100,000 followers or whatever? Every day you're just going to be getting a box of like clothing
shit.
Or products and the amount of waste, like, and all of those foreign trips as well. Like, you know, we know people on Instagram who are, you know, flying off like every weekend to do like trips and stuff like that. You know, there's this sort of green element to it as well. And like I've heard stories, like when we were doing Damien's book, actually, We Can't Run Away From This, somebody told me a story about going into someone's office, and there was just this enormous pile of stuff in the middle of the room. And it was just like, oh yeah, that stuff no one really wants. And just like the waste that brands are creating with this, I just think it's unspoken about. Like, I've been to like loads of trainer launches, and you know, people will turn up, take their 150 quid pair of trainers, and then they'll go, oh yeah, I don't really run, I just fancy the trainers. And I just think, like, why would a brand waste money on this? Like, when you've got loads and loads of like athletes, like really, really good athletes who are also really good on social media nowadays. Like, it didn't used to be the case. It used to be like two different things, didn't it?
Mm.
But certainly in the last sort of 10 years, you've got these younger athletes coming through, really good at social media.
And they're really good at the reels and the TikToks, aren't they?
They're good. And, you know, why are they not getting free products? Why are you giving it to influencers who don't even really like running?
The other thing that brands probably need to have a little think about is who they're getting to represent their brand. So if I think about Innovate, hashtag sponsored, hashtag Innovate, Innovate have a very good spread of people. They've got the elite section up the top end with Andy and Damien and Nikki. They've got the fell runners with Nick and Billy. They've got, and then they've got bang average, me on my own, just me on my own. What they don't have, I think, is the next level to that, which is the common man. Do you know what I mean? When you go to a race, you see people of all walks of life. And I think if you're just using people that look a certain way or who are a certain level in the sport to advertise your brand, you're actually missing a trick, because those aren't the people that are buying your stuff. Those aren't the people in the shops at the weekend. Like, the people in the shops at the weekend are the people who are mid to back of pack. And there's fucking thousands of them. And someone said to me the other week, I wouldn't buy that because I'm not good enough to wear it. Like, I'm not a good enough athlete to wear it. And I was like, what? Like, you don't have to, like, it's like someone saying, I'm not going to do coaching because I'm not good enough to have a coach. It's like, that's not the point. But like, it's just really interesting how it works nowadays. But the thing that I think pisses me and you off the most, and the thing that's the most difficult to navigate here, is the fact that we see people talking absolute fucking shit on Instagram, and we know they're not doing what they say they're doing.
Yeah, that drives us mad. So, that is classic Bailey and Reid investigates material.
We spend hours talking about this, don't we? And sometimes maybe we spend a little bit too long doing deep dives on their Strava.
Yeah, so that's what I like, to look at their Instagram, what they say they've done, then look at their Strava and see what they've actually done.
Why do you think we feel the need to do that? Because we both do it, don't we? And it's like, I know what I'm going to do. Wind myself up about someone not living in line with my values. And if they're not living in line with my values, that's on them. It's not on me. But I think it's because for me, it's because they have influence over other people and they're not being honest. And I think that is the big.
That's exactly it. That is exactly it, I think. Because it's not influencing. Like, we can look at it and go, oh, that's bullshit. But, you know, there's a lot of people who are looking at that going, oh, I'm really inspired by that, that, you know, this person's doing this and believing and achieving and all that sort of stuff.
One of the fucking things that annoys me the most is people who make reels about their big race. And they're all like, at the end of it, they're all like, throwing themselves over the line, crying, saying how brutal and how hard I'm so proud of myself. It's the hardest thing I've ever done. It's like, mate, you didn't do any training.
Yeah.
You did no training. Like, I know you did no training because I follow you on Strava. You did like 10 miles a week. And you made out like you were training for Instagram. You were given a free place at this race. You didn't train. Of course it's going to be hard because that puts people off having a go. When they see how brutal, in inverted commas, it is and how hard it is, they'll be like, oh, that's not for me. Or like, oh, if she found it hard, then I won't be able to do it. I think that's the thing for me. Whereas it actually, if you train properly, if you give it the time of day it deserves, and you don't have to be running 100 miles a week, you can do it on 40, 30 miles a week in a strength session.
Yeah.
Then everyone can do it. But that's boring, isn't it? And it doesn't like give people the feels.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, you know, if you train really hard, you can be 108 miles in a bag. Next thing you know, you're in your dry robe and your slippers in...
Nicky Spinks is eating your pizza.
Yeah, and I was going to say in whatever services it is, walking around, buying hot chocolates and vegan burgers.
Exactly. That was what I was doing at the end of the spine, guys, because I'm such a fucking baller.
Yeah.
Because I actually did the training. You all saw it, and it's all on my Strava. You can see it.
Like, that's it. Yeah.
I'll never, ever do that. Like, I just want it to be completely transparent. Like, this is what it is.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I like I've said to you before, like it's one of the marks of like how sort of fit I'm feeling or how well I've trained or whatever is like how I feel the day after a race. Because I just don't like I have the race in the past where you can't walk for like 3 or 4 days or whatever because you've not trained specifically or whatever or trained correctly or trained enough or whatever. And then you start to think, God, is it worth it? Is it just worth it if I can't walk for like four
days?
Well,
what's really interesting is me and Robert Hornshaw, who was one of my athletes that was also doing spine, both of us have been absolutely fine. Like, we've been walking around up and down the stairs. He said to me, oh, maybe I didn't run hard enough. I'm like, maybe you did run hard enough and you just trained well, so your recovery is much better. And that's how I feel. Because in the moment, I don't think either of us could have done any better than we were doing. But we did train really hard and it was all documented for everybody to see. The work is fucking there, all over Instagram, it's all over Strava. And I think that's the difference. Like, don't take what you see on Instagram with a pinch of salt. The thing is, if we talk about it and say that person's lying to you, they are lying to you as a follower, we get told off for bullying or trolling.
Yeah.
But we're not trolling, we're literally pointing out circumstance.
Yeah.
And I think more like people listening to this who follow people on Instagram, exercise some due diligence.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Is this real? In the words of Freddie Mercury, is this real life? Or is this just fantasy?
Yeah.
I think it's probably this latter half.
Yeah.
And anyone whose username on Instagram starts with ultra_investigate.
Yeah, I mean, if you're basing your whole personality on, or like your whole identity, I guess, on something that you're not.
There are some exceptions to that rule, David.
Yeah.
or a few other people. But we were talking about this the other day, weren't we? That we were going to do it. We decided that we're going to go and do something once and then just change our Instagram handle to make us look like an expert in that thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I've done a Via Ferrata once. So I'm going to be Via Ferrata Reed.
Yeah. I've done bouldering. So I'm going to be Big Bouldering Bailey.
I'm going to do some like hypoxic training for altitude for Tour de Gion. So maybe I'll just be like hypoxic reedy.
Hypoxic reedy?
Yeah.
Ultra hypoxic reedy.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to go for. Yeah.
Are you going to get an altitude tent?
No, I can't afford to do that. Well, I mean, I could afford to do it, but I think it's probably overkill. But so body rehab, where I go and see Paul Tierney for my strength and conditioning.
Paul Tierney is our boy crush, by the way, everybody. And I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it. He's my boy crush. Said it. You're keeping your mouth closed.
I suggest you do not go to him for strength and conditioning.
Paul Tierney's not going to listen to this. Is he?
I don't know. I don't know what he does in his spare time. But he's great. It's super interesting. Like, he breaks the race down into what it is that you need to do. You know, and it's like, for me, it's like loading tendons and putting like explosive kind of forces through things.
explosive. I just think of shitting yourself. That's why I can't work with athletes like Paul Tierney.
But no, it's really good. It's really hard, and it's I think working really well. But they do hypoxia training in there, so you go in, you put a mask on, and then you hook it up to a machine that sort of mimics the altitude, like different heights and stuff. So you can't acclimatize to it because you need the altitude tent, and or you need to do it for like a really really long period for like the 2 weeks before the race. So it's not really practical for me to do that, but I'm doing that so that I know what it's going to feel like when you're at 3,200 meters and you're just stonking up a big hill.
Ooh.
So yeah, I'm doing.
Do you remember that song by Hayley Pace called "Stonk"?
I don't know.
Do you not remember it? Should we put it on the playlist?
No.
Well, no, Hayley and Pace were of a time, weren't they?
Were they one of your bands when you were?
Fucking were. I'm 42. You only got 43. Thank you very much. Stonk. I'm going to put that on there. Right. We haven't done a lot of. Oh my god, it's not on here. In the style of Hayley and Pace.
I've got another feature.
Oh, you go on then.
Yeah. You'll really hate this.
Good.
Yeah, it's called Bailey, Brittany, or Pricey.
Bailey, Brittany, or Pricey.
Yeah, so what I've done is I've gone through the Amazon.
Please do. Please help me with this. Go on.
I've gone through the Amazon reviews, or as I call it, UTMB for books.
Yep.
And I've picked out some from your book, some from Britney Spears' book, and some from one of Katie Price's autobiographies. She's got a lot.
50 autobiographies.
Yeah. So
never underestimate the pricey. I'd like to point out, everybody, that me and Kirsty love Katie Price, and we especially love Katie Price's Mucky Mansion, which is one of our favourite shows to watch. Thank you.
Yeah.
Pom poms on everything. Spray it with three pink.
Yeah. So I'm going to read out the Amazon review, and you're going to tell me whether it's your book, Brittany's book, or Pricey's book.
Perfect.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's start with an easy one. Good, easy read.
Pricey.
It was pricey. Yeah.
Pricey to a T.
Okay. This book should not be being sold on Amazon.
Oh, wow. I hope it's not my book. It's mine.
It's the Ali Bailey biography book.
Oh, it's the Ali Bailey biography book. The book where I win Western States. I love that book.
Yeah, yeah. If anyone hasn't bought that, don't buy it.
Don't buy it.
Do not be... I mean, it would be very easy to be fooled because it does look like you're on a cover.
It does. If I looked like Beth Pascal and was AI and had a number on the wrong way around. Yeah.
Also that book, AI generated garbage. That was another review for that book.
Is that my book or Casey Price's?
That's AI, your AI book. Okay, let's move on. Here's another one. Absolute garbage. It should be written in crayon to make it more authentic to the author's writing style.
Casey Price.
No, it was Brittany.
Brittany book.
I know. And that's definitely ghostwritten as well. So
that's got to be her ex-husband or a dad who's written that.
Could be.
Yeah.
An incredible achievement for a barely literate, addle-brained muttonhead.
Damien's book. That's Damien's book.
Damien's not in this. Pricey. That was Pricey.
Well, do they understand that Pricey's books are all ghostwritten as well?
Well,
doesn't Matt Wyman ghostwrite books?
He does, yeah. I don't think
he's written Katie Price's books. He sometimes says, I've got a big project, but it's a big secret.
He could have done. Yeah, he could have done. All right. The most heartfelt, brutally honest roller coaster book I've ever had the pleasure of reading.
Oh, that's my book. Did you write that?
That is your book. I didn't. I have written a review, yeah, but I haven't. That's not my one.
You're not allowed to say that because they'll take it down for biases.
Why?
Your friends aren't allowed to do reviews, only your nemesises are.
Okay, all right. I listened to this on Audible, but returned it due to the swearing.
That's my book.
It's your book. Yeah. That's one of my favourite.
I didn't realise you could return them due to swearing.
Yeah, you can return Audible. Yeah, really? Yeah, or ebooks. Yeah, 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 ooh. Yeah. Because I bought the AI generated book on ebook and then read it really quickly and then returned it.
Was there any other good bits in it? Did they mention pickle?
There were some of Pickle, but sometimes you get upset when Pickle steals your thunder, so I didn't include any of them.
Was Pickle in the AI book, and was she Pickle? Nope. Pickle? She wasn't, right, okay.
No.
Okay.
The item was thrown at my door, not handed to me as was implied. The book is a disgrace, covered in marks and scratches. Be aware when ordering books. Those are my favourite Amazon reviews. It was a bit wet. One star.
I think that is probably Kate Price's book.
That was Brittany.
Oh,
Yeah. Incredible book from a very inspiring human. Highly recommend.
Katie Price.
That's you. Oh. Yeah.
I was going to say, I think I wrote that one about Katie Price. That was fun. I like that game. Can we do that game again next week?
Well, yeah. What I'm going to do for the next one is take quotes out of the book.
Brilliant. But can we do it with other people's books? Can we do it with other people's books? Other vertebrate authors' books?
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea because then I don't have to buy them. That was my... I would have done that this time, but I didn't really want to have to buy them.
Yeah.
Or read them.
Love it. I love it. Right, this has been fun. So what we want from you, listener, we want your remembrances. We want your investigations. We want you to send us mysteries of the sport for us to discuss, to dissect, and to come up with our own conclusions. Correct?
Yep.
And lastly, but not leastly, playlists. Because you do like a bit of music, because you used to work in HMV. Another thing we have got in common, me and Kirsty, is we were both record store rats. I was R Price, Kirsty was HMV, whatever.
I was HMV,
a record shop was a place where you could go in and actually buy music from the shop. So, playlist. What three songs do you want to add to the playlist?
Three?
Or one. You can just put one if you want.
Well, do you know what? The other day, I saw one of my neighbours wearing a Retro James t-shirt.
Oh, yes.
And I thought James, I'm going to re-listen to lots of James. So, James Sometimes.
Oh, that's a good one.
I
feel like one of James is an ultra runner, you know?
It could be. That rings a bell, actually. Yeah. When they got, I think they had some drug problems, didn't they? Probably when they got over the drug problems, they became an ultra runner. That's generally what happens.
Yeah.
Have you got Fleetwood Mac Little Lies?
I hate that song. I'll put it on for you because I like you.
Okay.
I think Fleetwood Mac are overrated.
Oh, I love Fleetwood Mac. I remember I had a C90 cassette which had Fleetwood Mac on one side and then the other side was Soft Cell. And that was my most listened to tape in the third year.
Soft Cell.
Yeah.
No comment.
Okay.
Any more?
No, that'll do for now.
Okay, I love you. Thanks for doing this with me. You've been the best. Actually, I think you have probably been one of the best. I think you're up with Hollies.
I always feel like I'd be the worst possible person to be on a TV quiz show.
No, I think you'd be the best.
You know, when they go, hey, have you got any funny anecdotes? I'd just go, not really, no.
Well, that in itself is funny. So there you go. Listener, please can you keep coming up with your remembrances, coming up with your questions for the podcast host. We've got Damien again next week. Send by email ultrasoundsystempod@gmail.com. Put the name of the host you want to talk to in the title, and that's it. That's all we've got to say, isn't it? We'll speak to you next week. We hope you're having a nice time at Park Run. Love you. Bye. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Bailey and Harding Ultrasound System, sponsored by Innovate. You know how much we love you. We love you a lot. We'd love you even more if you hopped onto the old socials and dropped us a follow. We're on Instagram and Facebook. Just search Ultrasound System and we'll pop up. Or you can email us at ultrasoundsystempod@gmail.com. Drop us a DM, a VM, whatever you fancy. Let us know your stories, because without you, we would have absolutely nothing to talk about. And if you've got the time, don't forget to leave us a review on whatever platform you get your pods on. It helps with discovery. Ooh, discovery. Okay, that's it. We love you. Till next week. Bye-bye.